welcome to the FPL Blues podcast. We're jumping on immediately following double game week 27. And holy cannoli, it was a controversy and action-packed midweek game to wrap up a really exciting and fun double game week. How you doing, Brian?
Just celebrated my birthday yesterday, so obviously Tony comes good for captaincy and gives me a little belated birthday present. So today, Wednesday, went as good as it possibly could have, especially with you and I both having wildcarded last week to set up for this double. So lots to digest, lots to talk about. Can't wait to pod today.
Yeah, happy birthday, Brian, from me and all of our lovely, loyal listeners. You are 33 years old, and fortunately, both of our scores are big multiples on top of that 33 number. Kick it off, Brian. How'd you score?
Yeah, I'm personally feeling a little bit older. These knocks that I'm picking up from basketball that I've been playing have been hurting me, but mentally, my FPL game, very strong this week. I end up cracking triple digits and end up with 105 points. I got a considerable rank rise of about 33%. So I'm now sitting at 354K. Goal for the end of the season, which has been a tough one, is still top 100K. And hopefully I'll be able to navigate that with a bench boost and free hit chips. But start of the game week for me, Tony captaincy comes in with a goal and assist and max bonus today. That was a huge moment, especially tacking on those three additional points at the end of the match in the 96th minute. Love to see that.
And he got the three bonus despite having a yellow card, which I thought would for sure take him off those all important extra points.
Yeah, he got a yellow card for butting heads with Bednarak, which is really a pain in the ass because he has one more yellow card to go before he gets suspended for a game. So it'll be interesting to see if he picks that up in blank game week 28, and then he misses one of the fixtures in double game week 29, where a lot of us are counting on him to bench boost. But regardless, he comes in with 26 points as my captain. Matoma and March do the business, 12 points and 11 points respectively. Also, Kane came in for 13. He had a pen, which was wonderfully taken, and then a header. He just keeps on getting all these header goals. It's crazy as Spurs finally score more than one goal on a match. Elsewhere, Raya 9, Henry 8, Trippier 5, Estupiñán 9. So a lot of contributions across the board. My bench, like many, benched a couple Arsenal assets, and those guys didn't do quite as well as yours, but still Martinelli with 8 and Zinchenko with 6. So overall, 105 points, flying this game week, finally feeling in a good spot moving forward to the blank.
Hold on, Brian. You'll take that triple digit score all the way to the bank as long as it's not one of these small regional banks in your backyard like SVB. We'll save that for a news-based podcast. But 105 points flying to just be in triple digits. Little round of applause for you. You smashed it this game week.
Yeah. As Tom Brady says, let's fucking go.
Big result. I'm just on the cusp of triple digits, and I'm feeling quite hard done regardless of my strong score. I end up on 99 points net. I had 103 total with a -4 hit. I had 21 points on my bench, so I was lightly considering the bench boost chip, but I never really was so confident in it. So that just feels like a kick to the gut, and it gets worse because I am one of the differential March captainers. March has been a great month to me. Solly was looking really strong. He should have had an extra return, and he ends up getting 11 points all out. That's pretty good, 22 total. He could have had more in the second match where he was initially on 3 bonus. He gets knocked off on that front, and he had a goal in that opening Leeds match. And
unbelievable.
The fact that it's registered as his goal everywhere except on the damn FPL game, fucking A, that's a real kick to the nuts.
I can't believe that, really. Like, obviously it was very close, but not even to get credited with like the assist on the potential own goal from Jack Harrison. It was all very confusing. Like, it's got to be either an assist for the own goal because he was the last person to possibly touch it, right? Before it went in the net. And then, yeah, FPL Towers, we're going to be storming their castle. Bucks is coming in hot. He's going to break down the drawbridge and come in with the flaming dragon spitting fire to get his Solly March captaincy. I stand with you in solidarity, though. I was also, would like those points in my squad since I picked him over Mac Daddy.
Yeah, and I should say that the double game week teams that we really targeted, Brighton and Brentford, really came good in the end. It wasn't looking so strong after the first match, especially if you skipped McAllister, but pretty much across the board, they all scored somewhere between 8 and 13 points. So if you captain any of those players, you're looking at a pretty healthy game week score. And again, it's good to target the double game weekers, and this is validation for that. So 99 points. I also had Solly March, as I mentioned, Tony, Kane, who each had 13, Matoma with 12, Estupiñán with 9, Raya with 9, Rico Henry, Rico Suave, Sexy Henry with 8, Holland with 6, Trippier with 5. They all grab returns. Unfortunately, as I referenced, I had Gabriel on my bench with a massive 14 pointer. That stings a little bit. And just for context,
oh, man. You've had him for so long, too, and he finally gets his damn goal. Yeah, I mean, these rare 12 to 15 pointers from the defenders have been tough to grab this season. You know, I feel like last year we had a bunch of them, right? Between Trent being in form and Cancelo, we consistently get these 12 to 15 point hauls. And this year it's been really tough to come by. So I feel bad for you that you didn't get any of those Gabriel points sitting in your starting lineup.
Yeah, and just for context, I had a good game week. I'm up to 470K overall. So it's not great, but it's better than I was going into this game week for
sure.
It's
trending. It's trending.
Yeah, it's on the upward. But the March goal being chalked off, that would have been 20 extra points at minimum in my team. Those 20 points would have brought me 170,000 places up the rankings to 300K within that bracket. So I just checked that on livefpl.net before we recorded. So that is confirmed, signed, sealed, and delivered.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, I know you're not that good. I know you're not that good at math. How are you coming up with these numbers? But no, I assume you're giving him a lot of bonus too in the first game if he gets
no,
that.
No, even if he just had the 10 pointer, he was initially, before it was ruled off, he was on 12 points. So I'm even being a little conservative here, but if he had 10 points, which I think one bonus for scoring the match go-ahead goal is reasonable, 300K looks a lot sexier than 470K at this point in time. So just feel a little hard done by the shitheads at the official FPL game.
All right, let's keep it moving here to the manager of the game week who outscored both of us, Gabby Gunners, aka Corby Olsen. Well done. He smashed it this game week with 110 points. Bucks, who did he all have in his squad?
So he captained Matoma for 24 points. He had Gabriel in his starting lineup for a huge 14-pointer. Kane and Tony each contribute 13. March, he's also a March guy. He had 11. Raya and Ben Mee with 9 apiece. Holland with 6 and Trippier with 5. So you could really see small margins this game week, but there were a lot of big scores, and Corby really nailed it. I mean, starting Gabriel was a stroke of genius. That 14-pointer is legendary.
Yeah, and especially looking at his squad as well, he wildcarded last game week, so very much in the vindication club for the three of us and have some really great scores to show for it. It'll be really interesting when other managers go to wildcard potentially in 30, if they'll be able to make up that kind of 15 to 20 points that we really got from our wildcard. So interesting times ahead, but I think we're really excited for the upcoming big, massive double game week, which is going to be a real rank roller coaster.
Yeah, one last thing on the wild card conversation. I think we were pretty down after game week 26, which is when we initially both wildcarded. But now managers who did not wildcard then, maybe they held on to their Liverpool assets and went into this double game week 27 with their wild card. They're now in the same shitter we were in after 26. So I think the wild card, remember, it's a long-term play. So you're not going to get the full value and the full return from it in just one game week. It's all about setting yourself up for the next couple of game weeks. So I think that should give hope to those managers that smash the wild card chip in 27.
Amen to that. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with some of the happenings around the Premier League in double game week 27. We'll be right back.
We're back. Let's recap the action in double game week 27. starting with a shocking result in the opening match, the early kickoff, where the Cherries, Bournemouth, take down Liverpool 1-0. And I think most surprising was Mo Salah scuffing a penalty that might have hit a Russian satellite out of the sky.
Yeah, that's not a scuff. He absolutely rocketed it in the opposite direction that it needed to go in. And that ball did not come down yet in Anfield. So, I mean, I woke up to this result. I actually had no Liverpool players. So I was like visiting some friends. Shout out to Andy Villamore, who is in our mini league. And he hosted me in San Francisco. And we were having some stiff drinks. And I was like, screw it. I'm just going to sleep through this 4:30 fixture. I wake up to see a 1-0 victory for the Cherries on my phone. And I thought the app had crashed or something. I don't even know what could have happened, but very surprising to see the Cherries win this game 1-0, especially after the absolute destruction that the Liverpool Reds caused versus Manchester United.
Ain't that the truth? Salah ends up crashing back to earth. He had 21 points in game week 26. He ends up with a big donut, zero pointer in game week 27. That is a shocking result against bottom of the table side, Bournemouth.
Yeah, not to mention last week, one of our stars of the FPL Blue Super League, Amar Solanke, who had been in the top 4K overall after captaining him for 42 or 44 points last week, now captains him again versus Bournemouth this week and gets 0 times 2. That equals 0 points. That is as rough as it gets from a captaincy perspective.
Yeah, not what you want to see from the Egyptian king. We should shout out Billing on Bournemouth. He's absolutely smashing it as a differential budget midfield option. He gets a game-winning goal, clean sheet point, and obviously 3 bonus for his second straight 10-point performance. Ooh. And I think this is notable because those returns are against Liverpool and Arsenal, two teams that we think are going to finish in the top 4 by the end of the season. So Bournemouth still have some guys that are plucky, and they're not the bottom club anymore. So this is the really impressive result from Bournemouth, and I think they might just have enough to stay up, but I think that still remains to be seen. Let's go to the next match, and let's highlight the double game week stars from Brighton and Brentford. Brian, take it away.
As you all know, Bucks and I had 6 of these players total, which really propelled us to great-looking scores. Tony comes in with 13 points. And then across the board, all of the defenders come in with between kind of 8 and 9 points for Brentford. So no matter if you had the likes of Ben Mee or Rico Henry, like we did, to save 0.5 million, those guys come in with some solid scores. And then it's all about this Brighton team. They continue to get results. De Zerbi, you know, I think they felt pretty poor to have tied in the Leeds match 2-2. Very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Very unfortunate for them. Honestly, I think they played better, but we still got returns from all the cast of characters in the midfield from Brighton, and I'm happy to own those guys because they're cheap. We can rotate them, and they're all delivering kind of every other game, it seems, because of their attack so far.
Honestly, a little shocking that Brighton only scored 3 goals in the 2 matches. They've been such a hot attacking side. So the fact that they scored 2 and then 1, I think it's actually surprising. Seeing the FPL scores, I'm actually shocked that they didn't score more goals. And then watching the matches, I was also like, where are these goals that I was expecting to be poured in, especially in this Palace game? I thought for sure that would be a 2 or 3-0, but 1-0 gets it done.
I mean, Palace doubled them from an XG perspective today, which is tough. But also it kind of led to the results of Steele in the between the sticks getting max bonus in that match versus Crystal Palace. So if anybody went from Sanchez to Steele, you probably had more points than those who brought in Raya instead. Right, Bucks?
Oh, shut up. All right, keeping it moving. Let's talk about our Chelsea Blues. They are back on track in a big way. 3-game
Let's go, Chelsea. Come on, Chelsea.
Let's go. Not only do they have 3 straight wins, but they also scored 3 goals against Leicester. And Ben Chilwell, I think the star of this match, he's going to be the most FPL relevant player, but Kai Havertz looked great. Enzo looked great. And Kova, 3 wins in 3 as the team captain. So really liking what I'm seeing from the now informed Chelsea Blues.
We seem to be picking up some steam. And of course, that comes off the heels of a really important win in Champions League as well, beating Dortmund and advancing to the quarters in that competition. So there's still a lot for Potter to play for, of course. And if we can keep this up for the rest of the season, the Blues fans will be much more supportive of him going into next season. So hopefully we can keep this up. But I think from an FPL perspective, we're just excited to have somebody in our squads other than Kepa and Reece James. So the likes of Ben Chilwell and Kai Havertz are really on the menu, since they play in blank game week 28 at home versus Everton. And then they have 2 home fixtures, which are a bit of a mixed bag. They will play Liverpool in the second leg of the double game week 29, but 3 home fixtures in a row. I'm going to have to bring one of these lads in to my team either this week or next week.
Yeah. And I want to just double click on Ben Chilwell. He's 5.9 million and he's playing as a premium level defender right now. And I think what's notable is he has 2 attacking returns in 2 straight Premier League matches. So really liking what I'm seeing from him. He's under 5% owned. So I think he's going to be one of the most popular transfer moves this game week.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you think about him being on some of the corners from the left side, he's clearly more attacking than Cucurella. So Cucurella could play the left center back position, but he does not do very well accelerating the ball forward for Chelsea. So this is basically as many minutes as Chilwell can play as long as he's healthy. And you might want to jump on that train now because there's good things to come.
Yeah, one quick thing about Leicester. I thought Madison had another good game, but did not.
Oh, man. Nacho just keeps missing these chances for him.
What a fucking guy. fucking Nacho, chip your ass out of here, bro. Daka is outplaying this guy. And it's frustrating because Madison is, he's doing all the things that should get FPL points and just not getting the final result from his teammates. So that's super frustrating. And I think the refs were really on Leicester's side this game. The fact that they did not have multiple red cards. I mean, Lutface, he's a guy who played for Liverpool earlier this season. He gets a red card dismissal. But I think Leicester got lucky to not have at least another red card, straight red. There was a challenge on Kai Havertz, straight studs up into his chest, ends up
imprinting a stud tattoo right into his sternum.
Yeah, it looked like he was one of the 300 from Sparta, the way the guy was like showing off his abs and there's blood gushing everywhere. That was awesome. And then there was another dirty tackle with high boots up, high on the ankle in the midfield. So, shitheads.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really bizarre game, though, because Leicester, from an XG perspective, clocked in at 2.52, whereas Chelsea only had 1.57. So even though Chelsea won 3-1, on a different day, maybe a red card is pulled out, then it's Chelsea with even more goals. But there was some variance that went Chelsea's way because this Leicester team, they do create chances. So I think if you have Madison, you're happy to own him. And frankly, he's somebody who I'm actually considering ahead of somebody like Bruno Fernandes for double game week 29 because of the state of Manchester United. So let's just jump to that game, Bucks. We see a 0-0 match versus Southampton where Casemiro, he sees his second straight red card of the season. So he's suspended the next 3 or 4 matches. This is really going to hurt the team for Manchester United. So it'll be interesting to evaluate how we go all in on Manchester United in the double. What are your thoughts here?
Casemiro gets another red card. That means he's banned for 4 matches. And this is going to have impacts across the team because that will likely mean that Bruno Fernandes will have to play deeper in midfield. That will obviously impact his attacking upside when we approach double game week 29. Also, I just think that they controlled the game. They had better chances, but the fact that they couldn't break through even with 10 men against Southampton, that is a real dinger of a result. And the fact that they blank and are really toothless against Liverpool and then drop points at home against Southampton, that is, they're trending the wrong way. Whereas some other teams like Chelsea, like Brighton, are trending the right way. So I wouldn't really sound the alarm as of yet. I still think Rashford is an excellent player. Shaw is an excellent player. Both could be targeted approaching double game week 29. But I really want to rate what you just said about maybe skipping Bruno Fernandes and prioritizing another player like Mo Salah, like Youngman Song, as more short-term punts in midfield, and maybe skipping Bruno considering Casemiro is out.
Well said, Bucks. Well said. Something for us to consider next week when we preview and have a special guest on, but we'll tease that at the end of this episode later on. So a couple other matches just want to call out. The Gunners, they rout Fulham, scoring 3 in the first half. Could have had a lot more. This was a huge moment across the FPL community because a lot of folks benched their Arsenal assets. We begrudgingly talked about your benching of Gabriel earlier. Martinelli scores a goal, so does the likes of Odegaard. And of course, I start Saka. He gets a blank for 3 points. Anything else here to report, Bucks?
Yeah, Saka, second straight blank when it seems like the rest of the team is really humming. That is looking like a really frustrating hit that I took a couple of game weeks ago to move off Martinelli, who's absolutely in fuego. He's scoring almost every match now. For Saka, that's looking like a really boner-headed move. And Trossard, Hattie of first half assists, he ends up he's the top FPL point scorer with 15 points in double game week 27. We know at our heart of hearts that it should be Solly March, but in the official app, it is Trossard with 15 points. He's the king of the game week.
Yeah, Trossard's becoming and looking like a very shrewd signing, especially when you see Mudryk playing very few minutes and losing the ball and being a bit chaotic in his first stint in the Premier League with Chelsea. So the fact that they were able to take a relatively informed player who was just a bit disgruntled with De Zerbi and bring him into a really title run at the Emirates is a huge deal. And so he's played really well. Him and Martinelli have been overlapping, changing positions. Now we're also going to see Jesus come back into the fold. He did clock a few minutes. Interesting to see how Arteta rotates the three of those players. I would assume that Trossard would drop to the bench given the form from a goal scoring perspective that Martinelli is in, but I'm really not sure. So it could cause some problems down the line, but for now, and what we've seen with Martinelli, if you have him, you hold on to him because he can score late runners at the end of the game if he does come off the pine. So just got to stick with him if you have him.
Yeah, he's a regret to sell for sure. Let's just quickly touch on the premium strikers, Harry Kane and Haaland, both in the goals. Kane with a first half brace. He looked spectacular as he led Spurs to burn down Forest. Sorry, climate change, but Harry Kane is in the business of scoring goals. He gets a PK and a header. He's looking spectacular. Double-digit haul, most notably, for one Harry Kane. And Erling Haaland gets a goal, 6 points. You know, that's not the huge score, but the guy is a machine. He just keeps ticking on, keeps grabbing goals, and he's the clear favorite for the Golden Boot. And he's on pace to still break the record by a sizable margin. So he's one to watch. And we're recording on Wednesday after the matches conclude. So we know and we can share that Erling Haaland scored 5 fucking goals in UCL. Sell this man at your own peril.
Yeah. I think we're going to talk about that with further detail as we get into the community questions. But absolutely incredible to see that man score 5 goals in a must-win Champions League match where they were tied in that leg 1-1, coming back and playing at the Etihad, and they win 7-0 versus the Farmers from RB Leipzig.
Yeah, that was a goal-scoring gangbang against RB Leipzig.
Yeah, plus you're going to have some, you know, Timo Werner nightmares from that loss as well.
Stop trying to trigger me. I'm triggered enough as is. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll preview the matches to target in blank game week 28, as well as what you need to know going into that game week.
Teams to target in blank game week 28. So, 6 teams will not feature: Brighton, Fulham, Liverpool, Man City, Man United, and West Ham all blank as they continue to advance in the FA Cup. Let's talk about the matches to target, Bucks, and kind of the results that we're expecting. The first one is Newcastle heading to play Forest. Forest aren't going anywhere. They've been very frisky lately and continue to score goals, at least, and wipe clean sheets. So what are you going to be doing in this one?
Well, you got to start the players who have fixtures. So I will be definitely on double Newcastle defense. I have Trippier and Botman. I think that Trippier could be a great captaincy option in blank game week 28. However, Forest are, as you mentioned, plucky and defensively stout at home. So I would really be targeting defenders from Newcastle. Callum Wilson is not playing. Isak is the preferred starter at the moment. And Almiron gets a goal. But I think I would be maybe even tripling up on Newcastle before they have this game week where they play. And then they have a double in 29. And they will have another double game week in either 30 or 31 as a makeup fixture. So worth mentioning, I think Newcastle are favorites there.
Yeah, if you have the likes of Trips, you're obviously starting him this game week. I think if you're on free hit, I'm not entirely sure if I would double up on their defense because, again, we've seen a lot of goals scored from the likes of Forest, but I would probably lean further into Chelsea assets. So, again, if you're on free hit, feel free to send us a DM on Twitter or jump into our WhatsApp, and we can definitely talk shop with you there because there are ways to gain rank if you are on free hit in this blank game week 28.
One quick thing about Forest and their goal scoring form, Brendan Johnson might be out injured for up to 6 weeks, and he's been their premier talisman goal scorer. So they might be a little toothless coming into the match against the league's best defense in Newcastle.
Next, I had no idea he was going to be out for that long. He's their PK taker. He's put up some decent hauls and plays 90 minutes. Good fitness guy. That is a tough loss for them at the wrong time.
Yeah, and it's definitely not going to be Alexander Ayew taking PKs for them anytime soon. Spurs play at Southampton. I think safe to say that Harry Kane is a great shout for captaincy in blank game week 28. I think it's pretty clear that we think Spurs are going to smash the Saints in this match.
Yeah, and further to that, again, if you're looking for a differential and maybe want to move off of Salah, you could take a one-week punt on somebody like Son. He scores a goal, gets a couple bonus in the last match. I would probably only go that way if I was on a free hit, but Kane will be a popular captaincy choice. It's hard to predict when he gets his header goals, but he's really great at them in the air, and obviously expert PK taker in the Premier League. So he's going to be a very popular captaincy choice this week.
Yeah, and I think maybe even Emerson Royal or Ben Davies could be a great differential.
Gross.
I know, nope. I don't like it either, but I just want to shout it out. I think that's a 2-0 Spurs win. Next one, Everton at Chelsea. We're back in Chelsea all day, every day, baby. Let's get another multi-goal performance, and maybe we can even hope for a clean sheet.
That would be quite ideal. It was tough to see Everton go in with that rocket of a goal in the first minute versus Brighton, versus Brentford in the first part of the double game week 27. What, 2 minutes in? But typically this Everton team is very prone to defensive mistakes. They really have very little threat at the center forward position. They're going to have to get goals from McNeil or somebody like Damari Gray. Otherwise, I think a clean sheet here, 2-0 to Chelsea.
I like it. Last one, Palace at Arsenal. Arsenal are leading the league for a reason. And Palace, yes, they put up nice XG numbers today against Brighton, but they still didn't score. And coming into that match, they hadn't gotten a shot on target in 3 straight matches. So they're really stars for goal. And I think if you have Arsenal players, you keep them for at least this game week. And I would really, on free hit, I want to have at least a triple up and potentially 2 in defense as opposed to 2 in attack to be a little differential.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I think if you're looking for assets from the likes of Arsenal, you're probably behind the curve because most players have 3. So hopefully you can bring in the best one this game week, and they're going to be also strong shouts for captaincy.
Yeah, I only have 2. I don't know what I'm doing this season. Let's go. Quick hitters, things you need to know about blank game week 28 and words of wisdom as we look ahead to double game week 29. So there are a number of teams that play in both of those matches. We have Aston Villa, Bournemouth, Brentford, Chelsea, Leeds, Leicester, Newcastle, and Nottingham Forest all play in blank game week 28 and then have two matches in double game week 29. So I guess our advice is to really target those teams for any transfer moves that you are going to make in blank game week 28 to be one step ahead of the curve and also get three fixtures from two game weeks. And I think related to that, I just want to add that between blank game week 28 and double game week 29, there is an international break. So I think an extra level of research is important to do because you want to make sure your players aren't going off to bumblefuck to play a match and then we'll have a short turnaround. Because if you get them, you really want to make sure you're getting all three of those matches. So that's a big shout out to a player like Estupiñán on Brighton because he is going all the way to Australia to play a match. Down under. Yeah, you don't love that because he will only have 3.5 days to return to the UK to then play that first match in double game week 29. So just word to the wise and something we want to shout out.
Yeah, don't do any rage transfers after blank game week 28. You're going to want to wait all the way up until the game week 29 deadline to make any moves. Avoid the price changes. Pits will be popular going into game week 29 as well as people set themselves up for bench boosts, etc., getting the best double game week players in. So just set your phone aside, avoid making any tinkers, and we'll find out more before the deadline.
Stay the course and practice patience. That is great guidance from you, Brian. Let's dive into community questions. We didn't get so many. It was a short turnaround from the end of the game week to when we're recording, but we got a couple good ones. Let's take the first one from at the Run CMC, Corey Cummings, one of our most loyal listeners and friend of the podcast. He asks, what the hell do we do with Erling Haaland? Do we keep him for the blank game week and then he only has a single match in double game week 29? Or do we rip him out and bring in a lesser attacker like Ollie Watkins, Kai Havertz, Iheanacho? What do you say, Brian?
This is the big nexus of conversation in the FPL Twitterverse and just in the FPL community. I think it comes down to a little math, right? If you are looking to take out Haaland, you have to examine the alternative, right? So it's actually Haaland versus Liverpool and then 8 points, which are kind of the transfer costs of taking him in and hokey-coking him back out, etc. So will somebody like Kai outscore 8 plus the Liverpool result in three matches, right? This one's really up to you. I mean, from a gambling perspective, I love playing the double game weeks. This seems like the only time you could go without him. And so maybe you get somebody like Kai or Watkins, who are also on pens, have a couple easier routes to points, but it's very risky. If you don't have to take him out, I would probably avoid it and just take out another player in your team to try and field. Again, 9 or 10 players will be very common in this blank game week 28. So if you can field 9 or 10 men, it might be worth just holding on to Haaland instead. What do you think, Bucks?
Yeah, I'm on the hold. He's the best player in FPL. He's the best player in the Premier League to my eye. So he's not going anywhere. I am probably going to just make a free transfer and then take a hit in double game week 29 and play with 10 guys this game week and then have 12 doublers in game week 29. And I'm totally cool with that. If I have Kane and Haaland as my single game week players, you know, fuck the world. Those are players that can outscore double game weekers in a single match. And I back that Haaland is, they're playing at the Etihad, so they're not playing at Anfield. And Liverpool, yes, they've kind of turned around their fortune, but they just gave a goal away to Bournemouth away. So they don't have Erling Haaland. And I think Erling Haaland can smash any team for a hat trick.
Yeah, it's an interesting spot to be in, especially for those who are going to bench boost. Like, if I don't take Haaland out this week, I'll have Kane, Haaland, and Saka on my bench boost with a double bench boost keeper. So it's a little bit less attractive in terms of potential, but this Manchester City versus Liverpool game is going to be a tight one, or it could be wide open. Like, it could be a number of things. So
I disagree.
See a 3-2 match there, too.
Sorry, Brian. I disagree. I think it's going to be wide open. Liverpool need these points desperately. They're trying to make top four.
Yeah, they're not playing for a draw.
But you can take out Saka for a player that has two fixtures, maybe even for a hit. And I really rate attacking the big double game week with your bench boost that way. So Saka could become Madison or maybe Bruno Fernandes or another player that has two tempting fixtures in 29. And he'll be easy to get back in. I don't expect he's going to be price rising based on the recent form that he's in. And if he does, you can always target one of the other Arsenal midfielders who are banging, but notably Arsenal don't have any double game week. So they're more of a safe pick, but they've been performing in FPL. So something we just want to shout out about the Haaland and also the implications of moves going into double game week 29.
All right, next up, just wanted to discuss what a free hit could potentially look like. So top players to target this game week, Bucks. I know we've chatted through some of them, but you want to find differentials across the squad. So tripling up on Chelsea is something that many managers will not have. So that would definitely be the start of a free hit team for me. The likes of the top scoring boys from Spurs, Kane and Son, those are good players to own this week. Son could be a very large differential captain even as well. The likes of the Newcastle defense, they definitely have an easy fixture versus NFO, and then three assets from Arsenal. That's pretty much the like core and bones of your free hit 28 squad, but there are a few differentials you could go with as well, Madison being one of those.
I don't really love the free hit 28 because I think that the teams are going to look very similar. I think it's going to be very hard to find true differentials that are going to rocket you up the ranks. I think every team is going to have a triple up on Newcastle, Spurs, Chelsea, and Arsenal. And then it's like, what other guys are you starting? And I think the real play that I would recommend if you are set on free hitting is I would not be starting Kepa in goal. I would go for a Chelsea triple up of outfield players. And I would look a lesser owned keeper, maybe try and pop a return from a player like Emi Martinez or a player like I don't even know where you'd go with that. Fraser Forster. Again, just trying to get players that are lesser owned that you're going to be able to capitalize and jump over players that are playing it more safe like me and you.
Yeah, and saving that free hit chip for potentially using it in game week 32 is what another strategy would be and something that I'm leaning towards, because we're going to have a likely blank game week for Manchester United and Chelsea, then also Brighton and Manchester City. Those are the kind of likely teams, and we have a lot of those assets. They're very popular. So saving it for down the line and just fielding nine men is probably better use than popping that free hit chip this game week.
Yeah, but I should say that it's easy for us to recommend that approach when we wildcarded in 26.
That's true.
Of 28 and double game of 29 in our thoughts. If you only have six guys in this match and you have a triple up on City and you have a triple up on Man United, go for the free hit. I mean, you're going to get 20, 25 points in the bank today, and you can figure out game week 32 down the road. I'm considering free hit 32 right now, but I'm also leaning, and I really like the idea of a potential free hit in game week 37. That would require a lot of patience from your boy, but I think
you
that
you don't have that patience this season, Bucks. Good Lord. How many you're going to take another minus eight in game week 32? I can already see it.
You know me too well. All right, let's wrap up the questions. Let's go to our transfer plans and captaincy shouts.
All right. And another last question here from Uzi. He asks, who is the best captaincy shout this game week? So, Bucks, who's your captain going into blank game week 28?
Oh, that's easy transition. Right now, my bus team has it on Harry Kane, but my trigger finger has been switching it back and forth to Kieran Trippier. I think that could be an interesting differential. He's very good on bonus, but the Spurs record against the Saints is spectacular. They recently hung nine goals on them in recent memory. And
that's
ouch. That hurts for any Southampton fans that we have listening. Sorry about that. That was uncalled for. But I do think that Kane is probably the safest and potentially the best captaincy. So that's easy peasy. But if you are chasing rank like me and you, maybe you back Ben Chilwell as a differential to get maybe a 15 pointer. That could be huge. 30 points as captain. That would be absolutely spectacular. I don't know. I actually kind of feel like that Chelsea game could be 2-1 with Chelsea getting it, but Everton scoring maybe through Tarkowski or someone like that. So again, I think this is going to be a relatively boring game week because I think we're going to see a lot of very similar sides unless you're absolutely going bucks wild on free hit.
For me, I'm looking at potentially captain Martinelli, who has been in great goal scoring form. I've actually liked what I've seen him playing more centrally versus somebody like Saka, even though Saka is on pens. Crystal Palace, they've been pretty mediocre and probably even worse than that. So I think even going with somebody from the likes of Arsenal is a great shout as well. So I actually do expect some diversity in captaincy this week. So that'll be the main thing that either gives you a red arrow or a green arrow from my point of view.
Interesting. And with Ted Lasso coming out, we can just bury Crystal Palace. They suck and they're actually in a relegation battle despite being, you know, in 13th place. So they look absolutely dreadful. And for all the nice things we said about Patrick Vieira, he's having a true wobble this season and they can't get anything slump. Right. Yeah, he can't get anything right now. Let's talk about our transfer moves and get the fuck out of here.
All right, I'm between two moves this week. I have two free transfers. I will be looking to roll one of those into double game week 29, where I will bench boost. So I am between either moving Estupiñán, who does not play, and then also has that long break to go to Australia, to Chilwell. I have enough money in the bank to do that move. Or I will be downgrading Haaland all the way to Kai Havertz. So either way, I will be bringing in a Chelsea Blues player and fielding 10 men for this blank game week, feeling pretty confident with that, especially having set it up from wildcard in game week 26. All right, Bucks, what about you?
Yeah, the Estupiñán to Chilwell seems like the chalk move right now. And I don't hate it, but I also think that maybe that's a little too safe.
Oh, I was just going to interject there. I mean, the tough part about taking somebody like Estupiñán out of your side is that he just got bonus points in this past match, and their double in game week 29 is super tasty for a potential, you know, 12 plus pointer. So Brighton is playing the likes of Brentford at home and Bournemouth away. They could easily clean one or two of those. So that's the only thing that's putting me possibly off and just keeping Estupiñán in the side. So we'll see. We'll have a couple more hours before the deadline hits Friday morning.
Yeah, right now I'm actually thinking of a potential hokey-cokey move. I would go Rashford out to a Arsenal midfielder and then probably bring him back in for double game week 29. That's the more aggressive move that I'm thinking about. I am not.
What do you have in the bank right now? Could you just hold on to Rashford, who you have a lot of value built on, and upgrade one of your Brighton midfielders like March or Matoma?
I could, but I can't get all the way to a player like Odegaard, who I just sold. So I might be able, I would have to triple check if I get to Odegaard or if I could get to Martinelli, but that move definitely makes sense. The issue with Arsenal just is that they have no more double game week. So I want to be proactive, not just for this game week, but long-term. So right now, if you had a gun to my head, I'm rolling the transfer. I'm going to go into this game week with only 9 players in blank game week 28. Hopefully I won't get bitten too badly. And then I plan to have somewhere between 12 and 14 double game week players in double game week 29. I'm really banking that double game week 27. Check. That went well for me. And then I'm hoping to really score massively in double game week 29.
Love it. Love it. Well, I'll see if I can grow up a big pair of balls to take out the likes of Haaland in the next kind of 48 hours here. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the FPL Blues podcast. Bucks, tell them where to find us.
You can find us on social media, Instagram and Twitter at FPL Blues Podcast. We really love engaging with you there on both sides of the social media universe. Also want to give special shout out once again to you, Brian. Happy belated 33rd birthday. And special shout out to some of our important followers. Sirtalp, congratulations on the introduction of your newest perma-captain, your baby boy. Hibbo FPL, also congratulations to you on the arrival of your baby. And FPL General, he recently had a kid and he's phasing out from his podcast. Just want to thank you for all the valuable work you've done in the FPL community. He's a great listen and we hope to secure him as a future guest. And again, we just really rate all the FPL content creators that came before us, paving the way for us to do our thing on this little humble podcast.
Love it, Bucks. Best of luck in blank game week 28. Hit us up with any additional questions as we approach the deadline. Peace out.
Green arrows, hit us up if you are on free hit. We'd love to interact with you. Thanks, everyone.